2005. Representative Greenlick has some amendments to House Bill 3084, so we'll be waiting for Representative Greenlick to join us with his amendments. We will not hear 2643, so we will open a work session on 3351. I'm going to ask Bob Josie to come forward, please. And
Bob, I think what
I'd like to have from you is just kind of an update as to whether you feel the bill is ready to move out as is, etc.
Chair Gerard, I believe it is. As it is, no amendments.
Okay, so you're happy with the bill as is?
Well, we'll accept it. How are you?
Okay. Committee, you are getting a letter from Lane Shetterly at the moment, who has some concerns with 3351. Bob, Wendy? Bob, are you prepared for any public comments on 3351?
We do have. Yes, I made them last time.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I made my comments earlier last time, and as I indicated, I couldn't turn in the letter because I had misconstrued the bill. So what I brought today was a letter that parallels the verbal comments I gave you last time.
Okay.
I can repeat them if you wish, or we can...
Not necessary. We have them and we have the letters. Thank you, Bob. Both Bobs, thank you very much. We will close the work session on House Bill 3351 and move to House Bill 3284. And we do have an amendment for that, but I think we're just going to hold off on taking the amendment to 3284 until a later date. So we're moving through the schedule real rapidly. I'll close the work session on 3284. We will not hear 2616. So... We're moving through a lot quicker than I thought. House Bill 3286, we'll open a work session on that. And Bob Danko and Joe, would you come forward, please? We're rapidly committee building a reputation for getting things done. Yeah. Right. This helps. Gentlemen, I've kind of reviewed where we were on this thing. Do either of you have any comments before we do anything, Mr. Willis?
I can give you this report. You had, I've had several email communications. I've talked to Mr. Danko, and let me just report to you, I think, the essence of what I've been told by the various, these are lawyers that are involved in this area. You've got a communication by email from a Mr. Jim Benedict, who's a private practitioner, asking basically to wait, work on this in the interim in some fashion with a bunch of questions. I got that to our technical people out of our Chicago office, and there is an email reply answering those questions, but I don't know, it's in my BlackBerry, and I'm sorry I can't get it out of there to share it with you at this moment, but I'll come back to that. But the other comments that I've been asked to convey to the committee, Mr. Danko will speak to the DEQ. I understand their position is a strong preference to wait. Don't take this up this session. And another lawyer up in Portland, Rick, who's with the Davis Wright office, has asked to wait. Mr. Benedict, did you have his communication? And my own partner, Patty Dose, in our office, out of deference to relationships with the DUQ, has asked me to convey to the committee her request to wait. And then the Port of Portland, through its counsel, Mr. Ashcroft, has asked me to urge the committee to move forward. The port is a major landowner and a major project up in Portland, and they like it. They would like to see it go forward. And I guess the position of the national conference who brings it to you is still this, and personal preference. One compromise I offered to Mr. Danko and the other group was just to put a delayed effective date on this, if there's any real concerns, because we don't have a we won't have an annual legislative session. We can get it through and on the books, but a delayed effective date, and even if you delayed it for 60 days into the session before it became effective, it would give people more than enough time to come back with any serious issues or worries. But, and I don't think that's acceptable to the other side. And so I would just ask the committee to please move forward. I guess we'll just take our lumps now. It's your decision, obviously, and I don't know much more to say except this. You've heard this before, but a tremendous amount of work went into this bill at the national level, but with representation from all the constituencies. The finance industry was there. The petroleum industry was there. What I call the green community was there. The regulators were there. And out of all that process of thousands and thousands of hours of work comes what I believe is a very balanced bill that doesn't displace anything. It overlays and adds another tool, as Mr. Kerr told you last time. It adds another tool to the tool belt to deal with this problem. It's still difficult for me to understand, knowing that you're not displacing things and having another tool, and it is consensual. You can't compel these covenants. There is a consensual arrangement to have that available on the books for Oregon. In the meantime, when we know that the states around us that do have annual sessions are going to be considering this next year, I'm concerned that we're now in kind of a tough spot of, if you say no, what signal does it send? So that's why I would urge the committee to push this out with the due pass recommendation. So.
Thank you, Mr. Willis. Anybody on the committee have a question for Mr. Willis? Mr. Danko.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Bob Danko with the Department of Environmental Quality. Committee staff has distributed a memo from me with an attachment that our attorneys at the Department of Justice put together. When we had copy amendments on Monday, we were finally able to sit down and go through it with a fine-tooth comb, and we have lots of issues, concerns, and places where we think the bill needs to be looked at and probably amended. So we ask that you not pass it out today and let us work on it with the proponents during the interim.
Any questions of Mr. Danko? Okay, thank you, gentlemen, very much. I think it's the opinion of the chair, anyway, that probably for the first time this session I'm honoring the Department of Justice. But I think we're going to ask Mr. Danko and Mr. Willis to work on this bill during the interim and come back to the next legislative session. I think it's a worthy bill, but I think that it should be, as you know, we're rapidly running out of time in this session, and I think the public would be best served by taking our time to make sure this bill is a correct one when it's ready. So with that, I will ask both Mr. Danko and Mr. Willis to work in the interim on this bill. And I will close the work session on House Bill 3286. Committee will open a quick work session on House Bill 2100 to let the committee know what's going on. We have another bill that basically is coming forth that represents the same bill as House Bill 2100, only it has a little tighter relating clause. And as soon as Elsie has that bill ready for the committee, we will be bringing it forth in committee probably sometime next week. Okay, so I'll close the work session on House Bill 2100 and open a public hearing on House Bill 3285. Do we have any, I believe we have some amendments to 3285. I'm not quite sure who's presenting the amendments. They're all pointing fingers.
I have amendments to 3285 also.
Yeah. There. Yeah.
Mr. Chair, good afternoon. My name is Katie Koba, Director of the Department of Agriculture. It was our understanding that Representative Krupp was going to introduce the amendments. He was here. We can certainly do that, not on his behalf, but in his stead.
Sam, would you make an attempt to see if we can reach Representative Krupp? Since I did see him dash in and dash out.
He was here until just a few minutes ago.
Right. Maybe we can still catch him, Director. But it's nice to have you here. It's our first opportunity to reach you. And as soon as Sam gets back, I'll have him introduce the bill on this side of things.
I'll just be on hold.
Which I hope you
may close today, that we honored a Department of Justice opinion.
Now, I listened to that with great attention, Mr. Chair.
And we say that with Sam, would you read 3285, and that this is a public hearing?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. 3285 is one which deals with the compensation as relates under ballot measure 37, that if a public entity would allow a public entity to be able to reduce the amount paid in compensation to resolve a claim for a ballot measure 37 claim, that specifies the how that with exception reduction in fair value, market imposition of the regulations, etc. I will point out that we've received a dash one amendments that would essentially replace the original provisions of the bill. The dash one amendments utilize language that's from ballot measure 37. In the main point that I'll draw your attention to, I think it's on page 2 of the amendment, and it has language clarification on many pages, but in the midsection of that page you'll see citations to a variety of ORSs, and thus as I can tell from looking through the various citation places, they pertain to matters, and that is on a list of things which would not be subject to a ballot measure 37 claim. So that's the category that the new language we put in, and it deals with the items such as jurisdiction of invasive species council, pest control and timber, disease and pest control related to agriculture. So there's a number of citations, but they seem to fall in that general category right there. And I think the panel can at this point best explain more of that amendment.
Director Koba, Jeff Krupp will be here as soon as possible. He's apparently testifying in another committee. So if you don't mind kind of carrying the mantle at the moment, I'll officially welcome you to our committee.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I would be happy to do that. Again, Katie Koba, Director of the Department of Agriculture. Our intention behind these amendments, and I've got technical experts here that can really answer any detailed level of questions, but the intention is by no means to try to thwart the will of the voters in passing ballot measure 37 or the proponents for ballot measure 37. How this issue came about and the exemptions that we are proposing to clearly place in the statute deal with our department's ability to establish quarantines, embargoes, control districts, really dealing with the economic welfare of the agricultural industry as it deals with itself. I think there might be some who say that that was excluded under ballot measure 37 under nuisance or some other things, but in conversations with our Attorney General's office, and I know Richard can explain this much better than I can, they believe it's a gray area, and we could be subject to a ballot measure 37 claim if we imposed a quarantine on something to deal with disease, kinds of a thing. So we felt it was important to bring this to the attention of your committee and the legislature. Obviously, we would propose to clearly state that these items are exempt from ballot measure 37 claims. And, again, not trying to thwart anyone's will, but just truly clarify those issues. Let me talk very briefly about all of the OSR numbers that you have in front of you. The first set, ORS 30.930 to 30.947, deal with the right to farm statutes.
Representative Krupp has just joined us. please come forward, Representative? Director Kobo is doing an excellent job of presenting the amendments to the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, I'm State Representative Jeff Krupp. House District 17, I will be extraordinarily brief. This, I think, is an important and a necessary direction for us to go. We need to clarify how Measure 37 interacts with all of our agricultural issues. And I think it is extremely important that we make this clarification now before we end up with some interesting complications down the road very shortly, I'm afraid. So I would encourage the committee to seriously entertain and pass forward the director's ideas here, because I am convinced in my mind that we need to do this, especially in the light of some of the complications that may arise in the biofuels industry. I believe that will that legislation will be successful throughout this body ultimately, and may create some conflicts if we do not make these changes. So I would encourage you to do this, and I thank the director and Jim Johnson specifically for bringing this issue to me. At first I was a bit surprised that Measure 37 would have any impact here, but in reality, as Richard has articulated to us, it does, and we need this clarification. So, Mr. Chair, if you would pass those amendments, I think this is a very good direction and necessary. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Any quick questions or questions for Representative Krupp?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Dr. Koba, we'll go back to where we were.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Let me just share with you why this came to our attention. With the proposed set of legislation around biofuels and dealing with biodiesel in particular, within the agricultural community, there is some concern about the growing of canola, which is identified as a primary crop for the production of biodiesel, and the fact that canola cross-pollinates with such items as cauliflower and broccoli, and the specialty seed industry, particularly in the valley, is very concerned about cross-pollination and disease from canola to the specialty seed industry. So they have been approaching us, as Representative Krupp has as well, to take our existing tools, and in this case it would be the establishment of a control district, whereby the department through administrative rule would clearly identify where you could and could not grow canola. And then the question that fell out of that was, if we established a control district that said you could not grow canola here, and a producer said, I want to grow canola within the control district because I can make more money than based on the crop that I'm currently growing, and wants to file a Measure 37 claim, you know, would that qualify? We asked the question of Department of Justice, and they said, possibly it could. So from our perspective in dealing with control districts, quarantines to deal with insect pests and diseases, embargoes on product that's faulty in terms of public health, if there's a question about whether these kinds of things are eligible for Measure 37 claims, we think that's a real problem in dealing with the kinds of issues that we deal with, and hence the amendments that you have in front of you.
Thank you. Any questions of the director? Seeing none, is it Dave?
Do you want to add anything?
Mr. Whitman, did you wish to speak?
I'm here to answer any questions that you might have, Mr. Chair. Richard Whitman, for the record, from the Oregon Department of Justice.
Would you give us your position if we were to pass this bill as amended out today?
Mr. Chair, the Dashwin amendments would clarify the application of Measure 37 to these programs, these regulatory programs of the Oregon Department of Agriculture. Right now, as I think you're all aware, under Measure 37, any land use regulation can be the basis for a claim. Most people don't think of laws of the Department of Agriculture of the sort that we're talking about as a land use regulation. But Measure 37, that's a defined term within the measure, and it includes, among other things, any statute regulating the use of land, a very general definition.
So there is concern that, in this case, because we have statutes that authorize the department to restrict how people, how agricultural users use their land, that it could be the basis for a Measure 37 claim. Now, some may argue that under the existing exemptions of 37, in particular the exemption for public nuisance, that it would fall back out of the measure, if you will. Mm-hmm. But, again, the way that that exemption is worded in the measure, there's significant doubt in our minds that many of these programs would fall under the public nuisance exemption. Public nuisance generally deals with threats to a public right, public health or public safety, or even public morals. And here we're not dealing with a conflict between a use and a public right. We're dealing with a conflict between one private use and other private uses of land. And so it may not fit under the public nuisance exemption. In fact, I spent some time this morning doing some more research on this, and you know, it looks as if there are cases saying that spread of disease is not always actionable as a public nuisance, plant disease. So I think that's the reason we're asking for this clarification.
In your opinion, this bill would clarify?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Question.
Mr. Chair, I might add there's also a provision in here also dealing with the Department of Forestry. They have quarantine authority to deal with insects and pests, so it's also some Department of Forestry programs as well.
Very good. Any questions of this panel? Seeing none, thank you all very much. We appreciate you coming forward. Don Schellenberg. Don, we appreciate you being here and coming forth on this issue.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, Don Schellenberg, representing the Oregon Farm Bureau. I do have testimony with me.
It's me.
Keep forgetting to do that. Here today in support of the 3285-1 amendments. Might take a little different tack than what the department, and I don't disagree at all with what the department has testified and what the particular problems are. I was viewing this a little bit differently yet, and so I just want to speak to that. To begin with, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to thank you for coming and speaking to our board of directors yesterday. It was very informative. They appreciated that very much. After you and Senator Ringo left, they had a very thorough discussion of Measure 37 and Measure 37 issues surrounding that. At the end of that discussion, one of the board members, a young man from over in Eastern Oregon, he said, I've got one question. He says, are they going to do anything to strengthen the right to farm laws? And I said, well, as a matter of fact, it was House Bill 3285, and the department is working on that issue. Our members clearly understand that granting waivers under Measure 37 will allow the establishment of non-farm dwellings and other non-farm uses in the farm zones. To the extent that conflict will arise from the presence of such non-farm uses, it is prudent to make provision in the law that will allow farming practices to continue without the possibility of generating a Measure 37 claim due to accepted farming practices that a neighbor may believe decreases the value of their property. Some landowners may also believe that the right to farm laws themselves generate a Measure 37 claim because the law prevents them from stopping an accepted farming practice that they may believe reduces the value of their property. The language on page 2, lines 9 through 14 of the proposed amendments to House Bill 3285 bar that potential claim by including them in the list of items in subsection 3 of the law to which the claim for compensation does not apply. Farm Bureau supports the proposed amendments as the way to mitigate potential claims that were not intended by the passage of Measure 37 and recommends that the committee adopt the amendments and send House Bill 3285 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the opportunity to testify.
Any questions of Mr. Schellenberg? Seeing none, thank you, Don.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who wishes to testify? Henry Budge, please come forward.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Dave Nelson, Executive Secretary of the Oregon Seed Council. Grass seed growers in the state of Oregon produce about a little over 500,000 acres of grass seed and have been highly involved in the discussions of production of biofuels dating back to the mid-1970s. We looked at the amendments proposed to House Bill 3285 and think that they're necessary in order to protect the interest of the grass seed industry as we explore and expand into production of biofuels and biofuel oil production commodities such as canola. So we'd just like to add our rock to the pile of support for the -1 amendments to House Bill 3285.
Thank you, Dave, and I apologize to you. Your name was here, and I just overlooked it, just old age. So, any questions for Mr. Nelson? My old age, not yours.
Who passed that bill?
We will close the public hearing on House Bill 3285 and open a work session on House Bill 3285. Committee, we didn't know kind of what kind of testimony we were going to get on this bill today. Didn't intend to move it out, but I think now that we have no opposition and we've heard the testimony, that it might be appropriate to go ahead and get this bill out of committee today and on its way. Any comments? We have the chair of the Ag Committee and the chair of the Environment Committee who's been working very hard in the biofuels area, so I would be interested if either of you or both have comments in this regard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we've heard from the Department of Agriculture that there is quite a bit of move right now to restrict some of the problems that would come from germination in the canola industry, and I feel confident as we move forward with the biofuels that this would be along that same line of help in protecting both on the land use and also in the agricultural side. So I intend to vote yes.
Thank you, Representative Robinson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just might add that I wanted to, I was interested in the right to farm issues. I think that's really important now that we have here in the state, and I think the strength of them, and it helps our ag economy tremendously. So.
Any other comments? Chair will, Mr. Chair, make a motion.
Thank you. I move the -1 amendments to House Bill 3285.
Representative Anderson has moved the -1s to House Bill 3285. Any discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Ackerman?
Aye.
Greenwood?
Nolan?
Aye. Ledbetter?
Aye.
Rogers?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Smith? Aye. Sumner?
Aye.
And chair votes aye. The -1 amendments are accepted to House Bill 3285. Representative Anderson.
I move the House Bill 3285 as amended to the floor with the DPS recommendation.
Representative Anderson moves House Bill 3285 to the floor as amended with the DPS recommendation. Any discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
Excuse?
Yes.
Just came in.
Aye.
Aye.
Sumner? Aye.
Representative Greenlick has just arrived, and we'd like to give him the opportunity to vote if he cares to on House Bill 3285. Actually, we're going to make you vote on House Bill
32.
What's the count so far? How are you doing so far?
3285. You haven't turned?
The committee will stand with these. Representative Nolan reminds you it will not change the outcome. Call us back. Continue the roll call, please.
Aye.
And the chair votes aye. Well, I assume that Representative Krupp would like to carry this bill, so we'll name him the carrier. House Bill 3285, as amended, is moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Mr. Chair.
Certainly, I just interject that I appreciate the efforts of Ms. Koba and her efforts to brief me and get me up to speed on what all this means. As a freshman, that's important to me. Thank you.
I'll hand it to you so I do my part. You just have to open the work session.
Committee, we are now going to open the work session on House Bill 2162 for possible reconsideration.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Smith.
I move we reconsider House Bill 2162.
Representative Smith has moved that we give House Bill 2162 possible reconsideration. Any discussion?
I should just point out that, the first motion will require to suspend the rules, so that will take five votes affirmative to be able to do that.
Okay. The chair would ask the committee to suspend the rules to allow the motion to reconsider. Any discussion?
Could I ask the staff to review what happened in the first one, although I think I painfully remember.
In 2162 in the original?
Yes, please.
That had, on April 18th, there was a motion to move 2162-1 to the floor. That failed. The matter has been requested to be put back on the agenda. This was a bill that would deal with the allowing continued opportunities for industrial development on sites, industrial sites outside the Willamette Valley. The Dashwood amendments had the original measure was to repeal a sunset clause within that. That's ready to terminate. The Dashwood amendment that was last time voted on was one that would extend, instead of eliminating that sunset clause, would extend it. Then the vote failed.
Mr. Chair, are we reconsidering it as a dash one? Are we reconsidering with a dash one in it, or does this reconsideration take us back to
Mr. Chair?
No, we're going to ask the committee, and we'll have testimony if we reconsider, to enter dash four amendments from Mr. Tucker on behalf of Metro, who in essence will be changing the bill and its original intent.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is there any further discussion on the request for suspension of the rules? Is anyone objecting?
No.
Then we now will accept the motion on Representative Smith's to reconsider the vote on House Bill 2162. She has moved. Is there any discussion on her move to reconsider this bill? Seeing no discussion, those of the opinion that we should consider the vote by which Representative Smith has proposed House Bill 2162 be reconsidered will vote aye. Those opposed vote no. And Lindsay will ask you to call the roll.
Ackerman?
Aye.
Greenlee?
Aye.
Nolan?
Aye.
Perhaps I should have done this during discussion, Mr. Chair, but this is just a vote explanation. I'm voting yes on the understanding that the purpose for the reconsideration is to amend the bill and replace the current content of the bill. With that understanding, I'll vote yes.
Anderson?
Aye.
Smith?
Aye.
Sumner?
Aye.
Chair Burr?
And chair votes aye. House Bill 2162 is reconsidered. And Mr. Tucker, if you'll come forth and propose your dash four amendments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Randy Tucker, Metro Legislative Affairs Manager. You should have copies of the dash four amendments, which are pretty hot off the press. Oh, excuse me, I want to turn this on too. summary sheet that is being distributed right now is virtually identical to one that I've given to most of you over the last couple of days, a couple of grammatical fixes, and the other fixes that I indicate the dash amendment number at the top so you can actually make sure that it's talking about the same one that you've got. This is a bill that comes forward to you originally to address a concern with current law that Metro has. Metro is the only jurisdiction in the state of Oregon that's currently required to reevaluate its urban growth boundary every 5 years. And we introduced legislation earlier this session to extend that cycle to 10 years, but that was really a placeholder for a longer discussion. As we've discussed that proposal, especially with members of the development community from the metropolitan area, Portland metropolitan area, we've included in the draft before you some language to address a second problem, which is that land, once it's brought into the urban growth boundary, is not ready for development. And in fact, we do have a 20-year supply of land in the urban growth boundary, but it's difficult to make that land actually ready to turn the dirt. And so the language before you today has some includes some elements to jumpstart the planning process in order to get land comprehensively planned so that it can actually be developed. Now, as is always the case, as a bill gets closer to actually getting dealt with in the legislature, more people get interested. And we had a meeting on Monday where it's one of those meetings where you invite a lot of people just to make sure they know about it, and they all show up. And so here's my sign-in sheet for that meeting. You know, it was a busy day, a full day. Basically, we had a lot of members of local government from the Portland region, including a couple of mayors and several city attorneys and planners, as well as representatives of the home builders, the realtors, and several other business organizations here in the metropolitan area. And that discussion has led, is going to continue, and the language before you today is not in any way intended to be proposed to you as final language, as though we've got a done deal here. But because of the schedules of the committees, I've been working with the chair to ensure that we can keep this bill alive for the discussion. And so that's what you've got before you. I can walk you through it if you like. It basically has three elements. Rather than walking through section by section, let me just point out the three elements. One is to give Metro a one-time 2-year extension on our deadlines for reevaluating the urban growth boundary, and you'll find that on the very last page, second to last paragraph of the bill. It changes the date. Right now our deadline would be the end of 2007, and it changes it to 2009. The second element is in a couple of places in the bill, and you can see in my second bullet in this bottom half of the fact sheet, the section numbers. But basically, it establishes some deadlines for the completion of comprehensive plans for the areas that have been brought into the urban growth boundary recently. We've had two major urban growth boundary expansions in 2002 and 2004, as well as a set of deadlines for land that will be brought into the urban growth boundary in the future for the planning of that land. And then the final element is section 1.5, and then a detail about it in section 2.3, or 2.3, language that's intended to ensure that if in protecting natural resources within the urban growth boundary, Metro causes the loss of any development capacity, that we address that loss by providing more capacity for development in the future. So those are the elements. As I said, the discussion will continue on this bill, and I believe I'll let the chair indicate what his intent is, but I would urge you to adopt these amendments into the bill, and then we can see where we go from there. And we will certainly be continuing the conversation with the constituencies that I've mentioned, the members of the development community in the Portland region, as well as local governments. One last comment. The bone of I shouldn't use the term bone of contention. The balance we're trying to strike here is mainly with respect to the deadlines having to do with getting planning done in the urban growth boundary. And we established the early drafts of this bill had the deadlines, and the local governments rightfully said, well, you're going to provide some deadlines here, but it takes money to get this planning done. And so right now, the draft you have before you, every deadline is contingent on the establishment of a source of funds for the planning. So it's finding the balance between having, getting the planning done, making sure that it's done in a way that local governments can actually do it. And, you know, we still got a little ways to go on this.
Any questions of Mr. Taggart? Thank you, Randy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is there anyone else that, since this is a work session, but we haven't had the opportunity to discuss the Dash 4 amendments, is there anyone else who wishes to testify in regard to the Dash 4s? Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Excuse me, sir.
Representative.
As I read the bill, my understanding is this bill only applies to Metropolitan Service District. Is that correct? That is my understanding, yes, Representative. And Mr. Tucker is shaking his head.
Thank you.
For the record. Chair would seek, we will not move this bill out, but the Chair would seek a motion to adopt the Dash 4 amendments.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the Dash 4 amendments to House Bill 2162.
Representative Smith has moved the Dash 4 amendments to House Bill 2162. Is there any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Ackerman?
Aye.
Beamer?
Aye.
Nolan?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Smith?
Aye.
Sumner?
Aye.
Chair,
Chair votes aye. And the Dash 4 amendments are moved into House Bill 2162. Is the intent of the Chair to replace the Dash 1 amendments with the Dash 4 amendments. Okay. Is there any questions from the committee on that? Okay. Randy, I know it's the cities are involved. Ms. Ludwig, is 10 days an appropriate amount of time to see if we can work in agreement on this bill?
Mr. Chair, it's certainly an appropriate amount of time to see if we can work in agreement on this bill. And yes, we'll give it every effort to do that. Now that this has happened, I will notify the people that are interested and we'll get some meetings together and get right on it.
And we will seek the Speaker's approval to bring this bill back in 10 days.
Appreciate that, Mr. Chair. And just to clarify what you just said a minute ago, this is a total gut and stuff. The amendments, replace everything. So,
okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And we'll close the work session on House Bill 2162 and apologize to Representative Vakian for making him sit through our entire meeting. And we'll open up a work session on House Bill 3084, Representative Vakian and Representative Greenlee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Brad Avakian, State Representative, House District 34. No apologies necessary from the Chair. It was Representative Greenwood that wasn't here and kept us waiting.
Thank you, Representative.
Before you is House Bill 3084, which is an related annexation bill. You have the original bill. You also have, I think, five different amendments. I'm presenting to you the Dash 5 amendments, which in essence replace everything that was in the original bill with what I am about to describe to you. This Dash 5 relates very specifically to only one type of annexation, and that's something that you've heard referred to as island annexation, and even more specifically than that, to island annexation by roads. Roadways. And I brought, Mr. Chair, a few maps so that I could illustrate for the committee exactly the dynamic we're talking about with this kind of an annexation. There are a number of types of annexation. One of them, commonly you could see on the east side of the map of Beaverton here,
as one small parcel of land that through time gets surrounded. The green represents the city, the incorporated part of the city. It gets surrounded by the city, then through particular methods is then eventually taken. That's not the type of annexation that the Dash 5s address. Another type of annexation is illustrated by the city of Eugene here, where you can see the main corpus of the city, and then all of these green dots up in the corner here, which are all incorporated areas, because the city of Eugene's policy is when they provide services to particular parcels of land, as they do here, then they become annexed. This method is also not addressed by the Dash 5s. I'll show them to you just to illustrate what is going on with the Dash 5s. In Beaverton, and you've heard a lot of discussion about Beaverton, and in many ways I don't think I'm out of place by saying that they've been portrayed as bad actors in some way by trying to do a big land grab. I think it's important to note that everything Beaverton has done has been completely legal under the existing laws. The result, though, is something that has disturbed us, which shows to us that there may be a fault in the law that needs to be corrected. What has happened in Beaverton is you have the main part of the city here, and then you have parcels of land that are in white here that are existing neighborhoods and businesses. And what the city has done is instead of annexing parcels of land such as this, they annex only a road such as that, and only a road such as this, only a road such as Cedar Hills Boulevard here, and then only a road such as Sunset Highway. So that what you in essence do is create an island of over 1,000 residents here by annexing pieces of property that have no electors or landowners on them. And then under the existing law, you can then take everything that's on the inside. Now that seems to me contrary to, one, a free society, allowing people to decide who's going to govern them and who isn't, or simply allowing people to have a voice in who ends up being governed, because you have no voice as these roads become annexed encircling a large area of land. The Dash 5s prohibit that type of an annexation. And then second, prohibit what could happen in this city, where now that you have all these roads surrounding a parcel of land, it prohibits the city from taking this as the area to be annexed, rather than the small area, because there's language that says you can't take it if these roads are within the area as well as surrounding the area. So this Dash 5 attempts just to correct a piece of the existing law that enables city to take parcels of land as I've described here.
Representative Greenwood.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I support the Dash 5 amendments as provided by Representative Vakian, but I prefer the Dash 4 amendments. These land use laws are in flux, and there is going to be things happening over the next 2 years, I believe, on land use laws. And I believe we need to move quickly, I don't want to say precipitously, but quickly, to create the motivation to make sure the cities and the counties and others really do move to look at this whole annexation question. You'll remember, Mr. Chair, that in the 72nd Legislative Assembly, I started pushing for annexation reform, and I did it again in the interim in our land use committee. I've been worried about it. Nobody took it seriously until we precipitated a crisis. So my solution, and I'd ask you to adopt the Dash 4 amendments, is to simply delete that section, 222.750, from the statutes, leaving room for when we re-look at annexation, either with an interim committee
engine task force or some other model to leave in to put that back. Now, what I believe what 222750 was about, you can see here little tiny patches of land that are surrounded. There are various ones. There are little bitty white that comes through here. Here's a little bitty piece of white in the middle of all the green. It makes no sense at all for those pieces not to be a part of that city. And in fact, that's what I believe 222750 was intended. But what Beaver's done, and I think it's been smart management, and it isn't only with the annexation of streets, is they have literally created an island. This isn't just sunset highway annexation. This is commercial property on both sides. But the only ones that are straight streets are the very little ones you see here and here. They've actually created, except for an eighth of an inch, I don't know what's there, I think it may even be a map problem, they created an island all the way around basically all of this land. And now, without a vote of the people, or without asking anybody, I think they have created the condition where they could annex everything from the city of Portland here to here, including Nike and everybody else. And I believe under the current 222-750, they have the existing authority to do that right now. I think what we have to do is take away that 222-750 authority, work on it in the interim, work on it during the next session, and put back a way of dealing with what it was intended to do, these little tiny white spots in the middle of the city. Because it really doesn't make sense to have, you know, a block here in the middle of the city that's being provided city services without having the authority simply to take them into the city. But it was never intended to be something like this. And I think either the -5s or the -4s do this. I think the -4s is a cleaner way, and I think what the -4 does, in addition, since we take away the potential, that will still leave 13 other forms of annexation available under different sections of 222 and 195. But I just think we need to put a hammer to this whole process, and I think the -4s put that hammer to it.
So you're asking the committee to decide whether to go with the -4s or -5s?
That's exactly right. I'll make it easier when I get on the other side of the chair by moving the -4s.
Well, I anticipated that.
Well, if you were to a -5s.
If you were to adopt the -4s, you don't need the -5s. The dash fives are a little bit more specifically addressing only the one method, which is by the interior roads and exterior roads, like I described. The -4s are a little bit broader, but they encompass everything the -5s do. As the committee is aware, we have in the committee's possession Senate Bill 887. Which also deals with annexation.
I am also referring an amendment to that to eliminate 222-75.
And which sure. Representative Greenick is getting ready to amend, as is, I think, half the people in this building. But as I have expressed to Representative Avakian all along, is the fact that the House side has looked at annexation from a two-prong attack, dealing with 195 with one bill, and now dealing with the 227 island annexations in another. And this is the second piece of the House's annexation package, so to speak. So if you want to get back over here, Representative, we'll put the motion forth to add the -4s, and then we'd like to, it's the chair's opinion that we should hold this bill for a couple days until we're able to give Senate Bill 887 a good hearing and decide which vehicles do the best job for the people. So,
Mr. Chair, I move that the amendments to be added to House Bill 3084.
Representative. I just got a request from Mr. Riggs to speak. Would you rescind your motion for a moment?
Absolutely, sir.
Thank you. Representative Green holds his motion. Mr. Riggs.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Doug Riggs, Central Oregon Cities Organization, which includes Bend, Redmond, Manders, Prineville, Sisters, Martha, Matoyas, and Culver. And I've been up here two or three times before to express my great concern with efforts that have the effect of killing a gnat with a sledgehammer. And I do want to raise concern about the dash fours versus the dash fives, and let me give you my perspective. I agree wholeheartedly that the effort to annex only roads in an effort to create an island to then use island annexation in corporate territory probably is a bit far-reaching. And I don't think that my members would have any problem with passing the dash five amendments, because I think they specifically address the issue that arose in the case of Beaverton that has gotten the building on fire and has drawn the most ire. My concern with the dash four, with all due respect to Representative Greenlick, is that they ignore some of the very real issues in areas outside of the Portland metropolitan area. And let me give you one example, Prineville. Prineville is one of our member cities. It has almost 200 islands within the city limits that the current city council would like to bring into the city. Every one of these islands is a very small piece of property or a couple of pieces of property. They receive full city services, and yet they are not actually part of the city of Prineville. And so while the dash fives would prevent cities from doing what Beaverton did in the future, which I think is entirely reasonable, the dash fives would, as I understand it, ban the ability of a city like Prineville to use 222-750 to bring those islands in. So I am much more comfortable with the surgical approach of the dash fives, and I think they accomplish the goal of both Representative Greenlake and Representative Ackerman. I do want to make one more point, if I might.
If I could use the map. This is what the dash fives tries to eliminate, and I agree with that. What I want to see over a long period of time, and I think I've talked to a number of you individually, is by denying cities the ability to bring property in contiguous to its QGB or current city limits, that what we end up with is a city of the future will indeed look like this. Because instead of having the ability to bring in territory around the city that has some elements of urban population that is currently unincorporated, we will have to bring in parcels of land that are undeveloped or single owner quite a bit of a ways outside the city limits. And so you will have, in effect, clear that the only option the city will have is to go out with these tentacles in some way, shape, or form to annex property. So I think this map is actually illustrative of what we may see if you have a less flexible annexation policy over time. But my main point at this point is to say, to request the committee, considering this bill either today or down the road, try to understand the impact that it might have on cities that have an island problem that has been created over some period of years and would like to resolve it as time goes by.
Any questions of Mr. Riggs?
Yes, sir.
Representative Greenlee.
Welcome, Mr. Riggs. We're not talking about the inability of the annex. We're talking about the inability of the annex without the permission of the landowners. You do understand that, don't you?
Yes.
You represent Bend, and the Bend representative was here and argued very strongly that efficiency was much more important than the will of the people in those areas. Is that your, I mean, I don't want to say that in a stark way, but how do you balance the question of the concerns of, I don't know, 25,000 people there, maybe, or more, which now live in an island completely surrounded by Beaverton, compared to the desire of Beaverton to add that big chunk?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Greenlake, I think what I would do is say that there's a significant difference between the Washington County area and many of the communities I represent in Eastern Oregon, and that is that there are no special water districts in Central Oregon, with the exception of the one that serves Manders, that can provide the kind of sewer and water services that provide for economic development. The second point I make is that in the case of the Redmond annexation, which I think I discussed earlier, my city council went out two or three nights a week for a period of 7 months, knocked on every door, held public meetings, sent out flyers, agreed to delay the imposition of any new sewer and water fees, any taxes, any requirements for sidewalks or bike lanes or anything of that nature, and made every effort. Could have been reasonably made, and with and used a single majority vote, and he survived approximately 40% in the territory to be annexed. So I guess from a pragmatic standpoint, I have yet to see an island annexation. I have yet to see an annexation where the people in the territory to be annexed would consent to annexation. And that was the point that I made. I think what you'll find is that cities will avoid even attempting to annex partially developed areas outside of the UGB that are unincorporated at this current point. And so you'll have these tentacles going out to these farmland or single owner pieces of property that they can reasonably annex. So I agree with the local people. I think you may be recalling Andy Park's testimony several months ago. Andy, I don't recall saying that we should ignore the will of the people, but I think the point that he was trying to make is that in certain cases, trying as you might, you will not. It's very difficult to get people in even corporate areas to vote for an annexation. Having said that, I agree with you that certain forms of water annexation probably go too far and need to be addressed in some way, shape, or form. And I would support the Dash 5 amendments.
Any other questions, Mr. Riggs? So, thank you, Doug. Committee, it's looking tougher and tougher in making this decision, but I'd like to hear from League of American Cities if they have any comment in regards to a preference here. Do you wish to hang or get an objection, I guess? Yeah. Hang or be shot, which is the choice.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Linda Ludwig from League of Oregon Cities. To try to answer your question, hang or be shot, I think the question is by whom? Whether it's legislative members or members of the cities that I represent.
Does it really make a difference? You know?
Yeah, I suppose not, if you're dead, you're dead. To be perfectly honest, this is the first that I have seen the Dash 4 amendments, and they are broad sweeping. And I do have some concerns about them. I met with Representative Avakian earlier this morning about the Dash 5s. And we did talk about them and agreed to continue conversations early next week to be able to put the Dash 5s, to get some more information about any unintended consequences they might do to other cities besides the cities of concern. And I would very much like to get that information before I give you more detailed information about what either of these amendments would do to cities.
Any questions of Ms. Ludlow?
Question.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Linda, could you tell me, this involves bringing people in by taking the roads all the way around the area of annexation. Is it still possible to do an annexation out in an area not in proximity by taking a road out and then annexing that small area that's, I don't see an illustration right there, but having one that's not in connection with the city limits at the time, can you still annex by annexing the road out to that area?
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, what you're describing is would be called a cherry stone type annexation method. That actually isn't statutory. There have been cities that have done that. There was some case law about that. As far as whether this language would prohibit that, I am not certain. Actually, I understand how Representative Avakian described the intent of this language, but the exact words here, I'm not sure that even the intent that he described this language really yet does, and how that would affect cherry stems, I'm not certain yet.
We do have some concerns about island annexations in general and how they've been used in the past, and would like to have some data about that statewide in order to look at modifying what we have in statute.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I just want to point out,
neither Representative Vacchia nor I think that it is inappropriate to use cherry stem annexations to annex streets. There are lots of reasons why we heard in the history of Tektronix, for example, that two streets around Tektronix made sense to both Tektronix and the city of Beaverton to annex those streets. And sometimes city county maintenance arrangements make it logical to annex a street to a city. The question is doing it for this purpose, and I think that's basically all we're talking about here.
Representative Norman.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Just a clarification in what you describe as a cherry stem. It's my understanding that the cherry itself only comes in to a city by the will of the property owners and the voters, that nothing in current law allows a city to take a cherry without the participation of the property owners and the residents. Am I right about that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Nolan, I can't answer that question in all circumstances, and I don't know if there's anybody here in the audience that could.
That's the way I've understood it, but maybe we want to wait and get a definitive answer on that. But
Representative Vakin, would you like to come back up?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think Representative Nolan brings up a perceptive point, and that is my understanding of how the annexation laws read, with one potential difference, and that is that if somebody did... If somebody did a cherry stem...
Say 185th. How to North Bethany.
If somebody did a cherry stem to here, and then encircled this area with a road so that you had a stem and the top of the cherry, then you could take what was inside without a vote to people.
Can I follow up on that, please, Mr. Chair? Yes. Thanks. But under your dash 5 amendment, that wouldn't be allowed.
Correct.
Right?
Mr. Chair, one
actually,
more comment, if I may.
Not if it's based on a road.
Actually, I think the Dash 5 would allow the cherry to be annexed because there's no road inside it.
But
then you draw of doing 185th, surrounding it, and then taking that piece that's surrounded, the cherry is, Representative Nolan, would be allowable under the Dash 5.
Mr. Chair.
It's only surrounded by a street.
Right.
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 Yeah.
Excuse me. Just to clarify, the cherry could only be taken by the initiation and participation of the property owners and residents. The city couldn't then use that cherry as the base to create a fictional annexation through roads under Measure 5, under Amendment 5.
What's similar to this in my district was Beaverton's interest to cherry stem annex 185th north of Highway 26 to pick up the large parcel that Metro just took into the urban growth boundary, the so-called 84 and 85 sections, at the consent of the three property owners that owned that big piece of land. They then had three quarters of, they would only have to annex two more roads, having gotten that central piece, to surround all of Bethany. And that was what triggered, that's what sent my district going wild about this issue.
I'm sorry, Representative, but under the Dash 5s, Representative Avakian would preclude use of the roads to do that.
That's correct.
Right, thanks.
I'm only here just in case, Mr. Chair. I thought the discussion was going to be a little shorter, so.
It's a very wise decision, Representative.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Anderson. I think there may be a little distinction that might be made, and that is sometimes the comment was made that the people were in agreement and wanted to be annexed in a cherry stem. And if I remember from my previous experience, there were places where people had signed service agreements
for water or for sewer that were outside the area that they were picked up by a Cherrystone, but they didn't necessarily want to be annexed in. It was just that someone, either they or a previous owner, had signed an agreement and they were locked in to go ahead and be annexed. So it's not necessarily with their consent, their legal consent, I guess, but not their emotional consent.
Representative Greenlee?
Yes, I'll, just for the record, I will withdraw my intention to move the dash fours and move the dash fives. We'll have a little time to look at those between now and when we're going to hear it again, and if there's some way to make it clearer and more reasonable to the city, Representative Rocky and I will work hard on that.
Wendy, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
Yes, I do have one last comment. I think this discussion really underscores the complexity of annexation issues and what we think we're doing when we put something down on paper and what it really means on the ground and how important it is to do the research and get the data before we actually do something and know what it is we're trying to fix and make sure the vehicle that we are utilizing to fix it actually really does fix it. That has underscored my concern about having time to gather the data and do the interim annexation work group. My preference today would be to allow a little more time at least to look at the dash five and presumably to have the ability to even look at island annexation reform in the interim work group rather than pursuing that in the dash five amendment today.
Okay, thank you.
And if I may, Mr. Chair, I agree with Ms. Ludwig that this is a very, very complex area and that the number of bills that are currently pending that address all the various different statutes that relate to annexation will make it even more complicated. I think the effort, though, for us to work through that is good and necessary. But it's really because of that complexity that I've presented you with the one dash that addresses only the one specific type of annexation that led us into the mess to begin with. And even that one has some complexities to it that I will be happy to keep discussing over the course of the next week. But it is the simplest bill, I think, that you've had before you, except maybe the dash fours, which is get rid of it all. But because of that and because of the willingness to continue working, I would, of course, support Representative Greenlee's efforts on the motion.
Any further discussion by the committee? Okay, thank you.
Just a clarification, Mr. Chair. Did I hear you say that you want to spend a little more time thinking about this before moving the bill to the floor, but maybe look at putting the dash 5 amendment in it today?
I think that would be appropriate, to move the dash 5s today, but in that next Wednesday is the Senate Bill 887. It will give us an opportunity to visit that bill in its complexity, then come back to 3084 and see which is the best for the people, what accomplishes best, and it gives us a much more wider range of, since it is such a complex issue, and at the moment we do have the time. So, the chair would seek the motion.
Mr. Chair, I move we move dash five amendments into 3084.
Representative Greenwich has moved the dash 5 amendments to House Bill 3084. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Ackerman?
Aye.
Greenwich?
Aye.
Nolan?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Smith?
Excuse?
Sumner?
Aye.
Chair Gerard?
Chair rules aye.
Dash 5s are made a part of House Bill 3084. We appreciate the discussion, and we will close the work session on House Bill 3084. And having completed our agenda committee, thank you. Next week on Monday, we begin to look at the Coos Bay SLU and Senate bills. So we'll see you on Monday. Have a good weekend. We are adjourned.